Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Servcast, Mobile Serve's Canadian Tech Focus Podcast. This week, we're talking about actual things that were revealed at WWDC 2022. There's no plan for this podcast. It is happening out of nowhere because it was the only time that we could fit it into either of our schedules today. So this is off the cuff. Yeah, this is off the top of our heads. We're coming with the heat. We're coming with the smoke. Hopefully it works out. I'm Patrick O'Rourke, and Brad Bennett, a man who refers to himself as the bad boy of tech. He is in California at WWDC. How are you doing, Brad?
What up, everybody? I'm doing great. You know, being here has been kind of awesome. It's like a nice little check off the bucket list, and I got to check out Apple Park. I haven't sent it to you yet, but I took a video yesterday on my iPhone where I was like, I ran away and I like found an apple tree and took a picture with it. So I was pretty happy with that.
That's what I wanted. That's all I wanted from your whole time down there was I wanted you beside a tree. It's great.
One of my events yesterday was the App Design Awards, which Canadian app actually won one of the awards. So maybe I'll mention that briefly, but it's the Lego Castaways, like sort of adventure action game. It came aloft to Montreal. They won an app design award, and they know the Transit app. Transit, I think it's just called Transit, the like green one.
Montreal-based developer.
Correct. They were up there as well, so I'm going to have a story up about them too. I interviewed both the developers that were nominated, or both developers from the app teams that were nominated. So that was actually a cool one. But at the end of the show, our handler was like, "Are you guys ready to go?" And I just like looked at her. I was like, "Okay, I know that tree is like." It's like sitting like 20 feet sort of out of bounds. It's like I can maybe see behind the stage from there. But if I just like run over and take a picture of the apple tree, the Apple campus really quick, because I think that's funny. Do you think that they'll give me trouble? And she was like, I would just be really, really quick if I were you. I was like, okay. And I just literally like sprinted over there.
You can basically get away with anything as long as you're quick with it and nobody is like really entirely paying attention. I'm looking forward to that photo. I think you should probably write a whole blog post about it.
It's a video.
You beside the apple tree.
Yeah, well, I'm working on a vlog right now called iPhone Goes Home, and it's just sort of like my experience sort of shot on iPhone at WWDC. Well, I'm not working on it, I'm just filming it as I go, and I'll put it together maybe later this week. But yeah, I'm hoping there's going to be some fun moments in there. But anyway, should we talk about the MacBook Air?
Let's do it. Let's get into the MacBook Air. So that's obviously the biggest announcement from the event. I watched it from afar back home in Toronto. You were there, you touched it. What was that experience like? And I mean, I'm in the process of editing your hands-on that went up last night. So like what was it like? Tell us.
It was pretty awesome. As per sort of normal Apple event, the keynote ends and we all just get rounded up and we got brought down to the Steve Jobs Theater. So the keynote was actually at like Cafe Mac, the giant cafeteria.
That's really cool.
And it was like half inside, half outside. We actually got lucky. We were like walking into the event with the Canadian contingent and Josh was just like, do you guys want to sit? We can sit in like these three rows. That one's in the shade. We just taking the shade one. And everyone's like, yeah, we're taking the shade one. We just like sat in the shade. It was nice. But yeah, we got to Steve Jobs Theater, which was honestly like a dream come true in its own. I shot all my A-roll inside just because I wanted to like show it off as much as I could.
That's sick.
And yeah, we walk in. There's like a huge display of the new MacBook Airs. Less colors than I was kind of hoping for. We have this new blue hue called Midnight, which
that was
is
the best
fun.
One. That was online. That's the one that stood out to me.
Yeah, in person, I mean, the Steve Jobs Theater, the lighting's a bit odd, so you're getting a lot of natural light from the sides and then sort of a mix of light from the ceiling, but it's not, I don't think it was daylight balanced. It was like, had to be an inch of a yellowish tint to it, just like a hint of like warming things up. And there was a lot of aspects in the event, like in that room where the midnight colorway looked really, really black. Like it was really hard to tell. Like these curtains behind me, I don't know if you can tell, they're like looking blue, like when the light shines on it the right way, you kind of catch that blue hue. But it's darker than the iPhone 12 Pro, and it's darker than the iMac. I compared it to those two things in my video, but I think I should have said that it takes that a step further.
So what else, like, for me, the big thing is the design, right? Like, that's what stood out to me. This doesn't look like the old MacBook Air anymore. It doesn't have the wedge shape. It's flatter. It kind of looks like, I don't know, like the MacBook Pro went on a diet, MacBook right?
Pro. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's compressed MacBook Pro. What did you think of that? Because, like, you know me, that's what I care about, is like what tech devices, particularly Apple products, look like. Were you fond of that new look and that new design?
Yeah, I was. I don't know. I was kind of hoping we were going to get a white keyboard. I know we talked about that last week on the podcast, but we're just black keys again. Yeah. And I think I'm fine with it. I mean, in the hand, it feels really, really nice. Like, I know, you know, when you hold the new MacBook Pro and like those rounded edges the first time, you're like, oh yeah, that actually feels like it just like nestles into my palm a little more. Yeah.
It's like, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. The MacBook Air felt like that, but also incredibly light. And like weightless almost, you know what I mean? Like when it's open and it's in your hand and the weight's like spread out through the entire sort of body extended of it, I guess, it feels really, really light. Like I was so busy like videoing it. I was just like touching it on the table. And then near the end, I was like, asked one of the Apple people, I was like, I was trying to take thumbnail pictures, didn't end up using any of them because I don't know what I was doing. I was holding the Mac like so far from my body, like it was going to give me COVID. But when I was like holding it, I was like putting it above my head and like I had it closed and open. And it was just like when it was closed, it just felt like the nicest little like folio kind of like device. Like it really, really cool, like nice, smooth in hand feel and like weightless. It's I think 0.1 of a pound lighter than the new MacBook Air. But I also think that not wedge shaped design helps spread the weight more evenly across the entire chassis.
Sorry, than the old MacBook Air. So it's only slightly lighter than the old one. Okay.
Yeah, like 0.1 pound lighter. It. So it's not actually lighter, I would say. But I think because it's not a wedge shape, so the weight's not like pushed more towards the back, I think it balances out a little nicer in your hand, and that makes it maybe even feel a little lighter.
So what about like I/O and ports? It's got two USB-C.
Yeah, USB-Cs. I think they're Thunderbolt 3s. They go up to like 40 gigs per second. That's
only enough. Thunderbolt 3, really?
Yeah. Well, it's the consumer. Okay. 40 gigs per second is fast. You know what I mean? No sure, SD card sure. slot, which I'm sad about.
I just thought they were going to put 4 in it just because it's the new device. But I Apple's done that in the past with kind of the last gen tech.
I'm just going to finish this curtain. But yeah, they didn't even
pull it over. Pull that curtain over. There you go.
You got it.
Nice and dark. No, it's like you're in a dungeon.
Needed. Yeah. Okay. I got to pull it back up. Sorry for wasting all
it's
that
all
time.
It's all good.
What was I going to say? The ports. Yeah, so we got the two USB-C ports. They're both on the same side, which I'm a little nervous about. I'm hoping that like they're not connected to the same like port controller, so you can actually get like 40 gigs per port. And if you go into like one, it's not
that would be cool. Yeah. Together.
I'm sad that they're not on opposite sides. I think that would have been a really smart move for Apple. It's just handy to have.
Which
one on
side
both
are they
sides.
On?
Both USB-C ports and the MagSafe port are on the left, and the headphone jack is on the right with the fingerprint scanner. And it's the same function row that's on the new Mac Pros.
I hate that. It messes up my... I'm not... You're going to be doing the review for us, obviously, but I remember when I reviewed the first M1 MacBook Air, the fact that the ports are on the left-hand side messed up my entire office setup. I did not enjoy that.
That's actually going to mess up mine as well, everything for me, because the MacBook Pro has the HDMI on the right-hand side, so yeah, that's like my display side. Oh, and
same with me.
The worst part about the new MacBook Air, not that there's that many worse parts, and if you're buying a MacBook Air, I think you probably know this, you're probably like fine with it, but it only supports one display still. It supports a 6K external display, which makes me think like we could definitely
interesting.
Be doing, like, two 1440p displays, no problem. Maybe in a 4K and a 1080, like, you know what I mean? Like there's a lot of bandwidth in that 6K sort of headroom. I don't know why we couldn't do two. Probably kind of what I was saying before, I'm worried about it because both the ports might be connected to the same controller or something. But then again, did you find ways around that with like the CalDigit dock and stuff before?
I've never tried to hook up two 4K monitors. I just have
the two externals. Have you ever got two externals?
I've never done two externals. So I know that people have found a ways around it with CalDigit. It's this accessory company likely based in California that makes like one of the best Thunderbolt docks for Macs. They have a new one that just came out too. I can't remember the model number, but that's what people use to get two monitors up and running. I don't know how it works. I just haven't messed around with it because I just have the one.
Yeah. Yeah. I think most people just have one, but once you have two, you're like, I can't buy a computer that doesn't support them. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Into that, like high end. Like I have two at home and it's like, well, you can't even get the 13-inch Pro, which is... I got an M2 upgrade as well. It's a bit of a strange one to see that get upgraded. No chassis change. Still got the touch bar.
Same exact thing.
Yeah. but it's got an M2 chip. And it also only has two USB-C ports on one side. And one of those has to be for the charger, I'm pretty sure, which is like, maybe one of the higher specs might have four, but I think it only has two in all the specs.
I think it only has two in all of them. I was thinking about that, and it's one of the most perplexing decisions to keep that MacBook line around. Like, just get rid of it. Like, just ditch it and make the entry-level MacBook Pro. And they kept the
M1 Air around too.
Very strange. Very strange. I think, like, this, I guess, it's the Tim Cook era of Apple is, like, very reluctant to just kill off products. To kind of make the line, it's just very strange. I was shocked to see that. I thought that if we were going to see the M2 and the Pro, it would be in like the entry level MacBook Pro, and then it would be like the new design but with the M2. That didn't happen.
Yeah, it's strange because like the Air is supposed to be the entry level, but now it's like, well, there's entry level M1 MacBook Air, which is still a fantastic computer. There's really nothing wrong with 100%. It. So.
It's great.
Apple can definitely keep selling it. Like, it still is out competing Windows laptops of similar size, weight, category, whatever. But it's just like, it's strange because the new MacBook Air is like $200 more. And what do you get? You get like a 0.3 inch bigger screen. You get the MagSafe connector. You get the new design and the M2 chip. But it's like, if you're buying an Air, do those things matter to you as much? Oh, I know it's only $200, but it's like, also, if you're buying the Air, you're probably on a budget, you know what I mean? Like that's like the bottom, you know, that's the entry level. Like my first MacBook was a MacBook Air because it's how you get into the ecosystem. But like, if I'm thinking of myself in that situation where I was going to university and buying a computer, then I'm probably just buying the M1 Air still. Like, you know, that's still more than enough computer for what I would need for that. And I guess it's fine. And I like appreciate that Apple has like MacBooks in sort of more price categories for more people, but I also always loved Apple for streamlining its product lines and having like very clear goals for each product. And it feels like those clear goals are gone because it's like, I think it's like $1,299 for the M1 Air, $1,499 for the M2 Air, and then like $1,699 for the M2 Pro, which is like a really strange deal because it's like the M2 Pro is like a smaller screen, less ports kind of, but it does have fans. So you are going to get like better performance there, which is really strange. Yeah, it's like, I don't know. I think Apple needs to take those three computers and it should just be the M2 Air.
Okay, so let's move on and talk about some of the other stuff from the keynote.
Wait, the last thing I want to say about the Air.
Go ahead.
This I didn't know until I was at the event. I was actually, so one thing I realized at the events is if you go beside a really big name YouTuber, then you get to hear all the cool stuff because the people like to talk to those people. Like I was just beside Marquez because there's only a few Midnight MacBooks.
MKBHD, so like, right?
Yeah. So I like see an opening, shoop, he sees the same opening. So we just like both descend on this MacBook. We're like filming it with our cameras. But the like Apple person is just like, oh, Marquez, I'm so hyped. And he's just like talking to Marquez the whole time. And I'm on the sidelines like, yeah, whatever. I'm cool too, guys.
Yeah, I've been there. Yeah.
But yeah, he's like, yo, Marquez, have you seen the color match cable? And I've been all around this table, like all the, just been doing laps, had not seen a cable pulled out yet. The guy like pulls out like a navy blue MagSafe cable. He's like, check this out.
That's sick.
And I was like, why are those just out on the table for everyone to see? Like, but yeah, so it's like a pretty cool, like all the new MacBook Airs have color match cables. Even the Starlight one comes to sort of like a beige-ish one. It's pretty cool. That was really excited about that. Even so, new power brick. We should talk about that because that's a very strange one as well. I think, is this, this whole GaN post brick we've been hearing about?
I don't think it's a GaN brick. I wrote a whole post about it yesterday. Really essentially small. as long as you have like the proper wattage available, it's capable of charging two devices at once. And there's a bunch
both
of people
at 35 watts,
not at 35 watts. It's like,
it does split. Yeah. Okay.
It splits it. Right. I don't want to get into the specifics cause someone will correct me, but like there's better chargers out there, but I'm glad to see Apple finally releasing one. And if I were to be picking up a MacBook Air, just the idea that I could have like this one charger capable of charging two different devices, like that appeals
to your Air and your iPhone. Yeah, no problem,
right? Like I could just take that with me on a trip and I could charge my iPhone and I could charge my Air. I like that.
You mean, it's cool. You wouldn't have something going like this?
Yeah. that's what it looks like now. And then I have I have like a multi-port USB charger thing too, but like it's nice to see Apple finally releasing like its own take on that. I know there's other ones that exist. I know it's not a GaN charger. I get it, but it's still cool to see.
Were people in the comments mad about it? Because it's not.
Yeah, perfect. I made like a very clicky headline, like this was low-key the best announcement from WWDC. So as usual, I was somewhat asking for it to an extent.
Feedback there. Yeah. The one thing I'll say about the pricing of them is strange. So if you get the base model MacBook Air, you get the old like 30-watt charger, the standard one, one port. If you pay an extra $30, you can either get the two-port 35-watt one, or you can get the 67-watt charger that comes with the base model 14-inch Pro, which will fast charge the MacBook to like 50% in 30 minutes or something. And sure, it'll be really quick. I don't know. I have the 97-watt one with my M1 Pro computer, and it charges it like really, really fast. So I'm assuming the Air would top up pretty quickly. Yeah, let's go.
Now we have to really get into other stuff. Let's talk about iOS 16 really quickly. I guess for me, the big thing was the customizable lock screen. That's super cool. Yeah. Kind of mind-blowing that that is not a thing that Apple had added to the lock screen before, but it's here and it looks really cool. Kind of gives me like Material U vibes to an extent.
Customization aspect of it is, I don't know if it's giving me as much Material U vibes, because you can change the color there, but I don't think that color then like gets reflected throughout your operating system.
I guess what I mean, I'm getting huge
Apple Watch vibes.
I guess maybe it's somewhere in the middle. The colors made me think of Material U, in a sense, at least the like custom lock screens that Apple showed off during the presentation.
I think I'm actually like the most excited about the fonts. And I know that I love color, like weirdly enough, but like when they showed off a serif font, they were like serif font clocks. And I was like, you could tell like every designer in the house was like, a design trend. But yeah, I thought it was sick. Like first of all, the notifications coming in at the bottom now is like, oh, finally. And especially the music one playing at the bottom. It's like, that is such a like annoying bit of hand gymnastics sometimes. So like have to like skip tracks or change the volume. Like putting that at the bottom makes a lot of sense. At the demo area, people were saying it looked like really crowded and felt weird, but I think we'll get used to it. And I think it's going to be hard to go back once iOS 16 hits. You know what I mean?
I like the live activities too. I found that very useful as someone who like loosely follows sports and gets updates on their phone all the time. I like the way that those are organized, because usually they're super intrusive. You'll have like a million notifications about like the Colorado Avalanche is playing whatever team. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. And being able to like track your Uber coming in with having to keep like opening the app and stuff. Very handy. What about the widgets though? Anything that you saw that you were like, oh, I gotta throw that on my home screen? Because I haven't looked too much into it, but I haven't seen anything yet that I'm like, that is a must for my home screen. Like even on the Apple Watch, to be honest, I generally just keep it either like a classic watch face or one of the picture watch faces of like Alex or some of my friends or something.
I'm very much not a widget
activity ones.
I'm not a widget dude. I didn't really use them when I kind of switched between iOS and Android. I don't really use them on the iPad. I haven't really used them on the iPhone. I didn't see anything when I was looking at them that would make me want to get into the world of widgets. I have it installed right here. The iOS 16 beta. I just haven't had the chance to play around with it yet. So I will be able to let you know later today. But as of right now, like based on the presentation, I didn't see anything that like really, really caught my eye.
Yeah, I'll probably throw like a weather widget on there if I can get like a carrot one or something.
That could be useful, yeah.
I don't know if I would do the ring tracking. Just that's such a simple one, so it kind of makes sense. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe if I could get like a sunrise sunset one, that would be helpful too. But even then, that's like I'm just throwing that on there for fun. I don't really need that.
Yeah, you don't actually use it. So what else do we have in iOS 16? We have editable texts in messages and unsending texts in messages. That's cool.
I'm going through Siobhan Salmon's like tweet thread right now because he put a bunch of stuff in just like a thread. And the craziest thing to me, I didn't even know this. This is actually nuts. I don't even know if you're going to like go nuts about it or not. Haptic feedback on the keyboard.
Yeah, I wrote about that last night. I was
Nice. Late, I should be reading up late. So sorry.
Up late blogging up a storm. There's quite a few interesting like tiny things. I'm trying to find my stuff. Yeah, so haptic feedback was one of them. The fact that Face ID now works in landscape, which has worked on the iPad for a really long time, that's coming to the iPhone finally. That was something I was excited about. And then right like as soon as we decided, no, we got to do this pod now if we're going to do it. I just finished a post about you know when you're like at a friend's house and you've already hooked up to their Wi-Fi, right? Like you have the password, it's already connected. But you want to like, I don't know, put it on your Switch or put it on your Xbox that you brought to your friend's house, but you don't know what the Wi-Fi password is. You can now go in on your iPhone to your internet connection and view that password.
Yeah.
So that you can actually use it on another device. Super simple, like this, the tiniest quality of life improvement, but I am unreasonably hyped about it because that happens to me all the time.
I was going to say, like, I don't actually know how many times I've been at people's houses. It's like early in the morning, like they're still sleeping or something. And it's like, okay, like I got to connect this thing. It's like,
yeah,
the Wi-Fi password. It's like, oh, geez, maybe is it in the settings? Like if I go into the settings, is it in there yet?
Nope.
And now it finally is. That's actually hype. I'm so excited. That's actually cool.
What else does he have in that thread? Those are the three things that I've picked out so far based on like playing around with it and what I've seen other blogs cover. But I'm sure there's lots of little things.
You can like make any photo in your camera roll like a PNG, and it seems like you can even do it just by dragging and dropping on certain photos, which seems really crazy. Cool. They show that off in an iMessage thing at the event, but yeah, I don't know. Siobhan's playing around with it here, and it's looking a little more interesting. He's like takes a photo of himself. It's like a full square photo, just drags, holds it, and it pulls just him out of it, and then he like tweets the photo of himself.
Interesting.
So that's pretty interesting. What else we got?
Honestly, other than the things we've talked about, I haven't seen much.
There's a new duplicates album in the Photos app, so it's easier to delete those, which is pretty handy. Cool. The new text, like the new search button on the home screen, I'm like pissed about. I feel it like there was a lot of things. And it's like, who doesn't know that you just pull down to open search? You know what I mean? Like you accidentally do it twice a day. Like everybody does. There's no way around that. So I don't know who Apple's like sharing that with. But yeah, I felt like there was a lot of things at WWDC that it was like, Apple's like, we have this new feature. And it was like, okay, strange. I thought you already had that feature. Like that new, what's it called? Not center stage. Oh, I made a joke with this in my video, but what's that thing called where you can have all like the sort of documents open on the side and then it's like switching between them really quickly?
On iPadOS?
It's on iPadOS and macOS.
I don't remember the name of it. It's not... Stage Manager?
Yeah, Stage Manager. But even then, it's like, okay, but doesn't the dock do like 80% of that? You know what I mean? Like your recently opened apps, if you like shrink them down, you can just shrink them and they go there instead of using Stage Manager. Like I don't really see the big difference there.
The thing that interests me with Stage Manager is the possibility of like opening stuff out in windows that are layered on each other. I like, and this happened, I guess this is embarrassing to admit, but every single time I install a developer beta, and this has happened for like as long as I've done this job, I'm like excited to try out these new features that I see during the presentation, and I can never immediately figure out how they work. Like they're never intuitive, particularly on the iPadOS side. I find myself like having to like look up guides to figure out how they work. And that's the case with Stage Manager. I spent 5 minutes trying to figure it out right before I went to bed last night, and I couldn't. So I was like, I'll do it tomorrow. But again, like what appeals to me about that is the possibility of like layering apps in a more desktop like way. I've seen some people's early impressions that it doesn't really work like that. So I'm interested in trying it for myself.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It's a strange one, but it's just like, you know what I mean? Like the doc kind of did that. That was strange. And then the other thing where they're like, hey, you can, you know, bring your continuity camera for webcams. It's like, that whoa, that's so actually funny. Sick. But it's just like every Mac except for the Pro Display XDR has a webcam in it already. So like, what is that? Who is that for? You know what I mean? Like, is it for people with broken webcams? Is it for like Mac Mini owners? Is it, you know,
so,
like even the new Studio Display has a webcam. It's a terrible webcam, apparently. I haven't tested it out myself, but
it's not that bad. I've used it a couple times. It's not great, but it's not quite as bad as people say. I guess the thing, it's funny. First of all, it's hilarious to mount your phone on top of a laptop. And even funnier is the fact that it's like a Belkin accessory that you can use to like attach to stuff. And it looks hilarious. I want to try it. Like it's a neat idea.
Same.
But like my MacBook Pro's camera is great. Every Mac camera that I've used for probably the last little bit has been pretty good
too. It's totally fine because you know it's video chats. Like what do you expect?
So like is this for people that have older Macs? Like or like you Maybe. Said like a Mac Mini? Like who I guess it's another one of those features where I just couldn't really pinpoint who this is designed for.
Yeah, it is definitely like crushing Elgato though, and like a bunch of other of these like app manufacturers. Well, Elgato does a bunch of stuff, but a bunch of these like apps that popped up during the pandemic to turn your phone into a webcam. It's like, well, Apple took another swing at the develop. You know what I mean? Like the flashlight app story. It's like, well, sort of that's happening again. What was I going to say? Oh, the top down thing with that was like really insane though. like they had it mounted and they were like, it was like they were using the ultra wide lens to like,
yeah,
do a straight up like top down shot. And it was just like they were de-squeezing it through software, apparently. It's like something, yeah, I don't know. It's really, really crazy. It's like, so basically, like, I believe the camera's here facing you. So one of the lenses is filming you as a webcam. And then the ultra-wide lens is still facing you, but they're like, it can see down here on the table in front of your computer somehow. And they're like, that's using, crazy. Like, you know, when you can like warp photos in Photoshop and you kind, yep, of like warp them out of perspective. I guess they're like inverting that and they're bringing that like warp perspective back in. Yeah, we're not sure. I was talking a lot about it with people last night because everyone is like, how does that work? Like in the demo, it looks so clean and it was like a perfect top-down shot on a desk. Like, was that on a MacBook? Was that on like a Pro Display XDR? Like, you know what I mean? It seemed like that guy had some height there. Was the phone like tilted down? Was it tilted up? Like, we don't really know. We're trying to figure out. But yeah, that one's like the craziest thing ever. But if they're actually just like putting a phone up there and it's like de-squeezing that and giving you two angles for like a top-down for like teaching or showing something and an angle of view for talking, that's like really, really cool.
You but did a quick post about it. You did a quick post about it during the event. The CarPlay stuff, I find kind of interesting. I know we're on a compressed timeline and you'll likely disagree with me, but I truly never see this actually happening. Like, I just do not see it ever happening. I know that there's car manufacturers signed up for it, but I just like, yeah. I cannot fathom. It's a strange list of
manufacturers too.
It's so weird. I can't fathom a company just giving like the keys to the VIP to Apple to like every single display on the car. And in a sense, that kind of scares me a little. I just don't see it happening. I don't know how you feel about it.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that because like car manufacturers are traditionally like very old school and very much like we design our own things and people love our things.
Yeah,
at least that's what they tell us. But I think that secretly they know that their software is crap. You know what I mean? Like, I think it was a year or two ago that Porsche came out and they were like, yeah, like we know our software is like nowhere near as good as the iPhone. Like our only goal is to make software that feels like iPhone level from here on forward. And like they said that out loud because they knew that they weren't doing it and like nobody else is either. So this will allow them to do that easily, which I'm hoping will like make consumers happy, which will like convince more manufacturers to get on board. Will it actually happen? Who knows? You know what I mean? I also like don't know if like, you know, people making these decisions at car factories are going to know enough about it to care. They'll probably be like, oh, the original CarPlay, like, do people seem to like that? What are the numbers? And someone in the,
yep,
room will like open up a folder and be like, oh yeah, good. People actually use it quite a bit. And they'll be like, all right, I guess we'll try the new one out and we'll put it in this model. And maybe next year we'll roll it up to three more. And it'll be like a slow go, but you know my next car is going to have that. Like, that is so cool. Like, you've read every single car review I've done. And there's like always like a 10 paragraph section. Like, hey, this infotainment looks like it's somewhere between 2003, 2011. I don't know. The software development team is like probably one old guy in a room. And it's like, I'm always complaining about infotainment looking so old school. So I'm just so happy to get like modern Apple design. Although it was funny when they announced it. There was a point where they were like, we just want to give you the most distraction-free driving experience possible. And then they like pan out. It's like, here's your calendar widget. Here's the weather. And it's like, you don't need those things when you're driving. What are you guys talking about? But yeah, it's sick. That was like my biggest thing. I actually talked to Andrew from the MKBHD crew for like, I don't even know how long, like 30 minutes about it. We were just like nerding out about it. But yeah, it's like super exciting. I don't know. The thing that I keep thinking about that I really want to know is like, will it run like real CarPlay, like off of your phone? Like, is your phone's horsepower? Like, are you relying on your phone and the cable connecting it or the wireless connection connecting it to like control your speedometer and your like important instrument clusters? Like your engine light will have to come on through air or CarPlay now. You know what I mean? Like,
that's part of why I trust in the iPhone. I don't know if it's going to happen. But yeah, I know we don't have much time, so let's talk about a few other things. There's WatchOS 9. My big thing from that was just that like some of the more popular, personally, ones that I like, watch faces have been adapted to fit the Series 7's bigger display. There's new fitness features. But there wasn't like anything that really stood out to me. I don't even have that much to say about it. I would really love to see Apple do more with WatchOS and the Apple Watch in general. And I'm hoping that the Pixel Watch pushes that forward. Like, that's what I really want to see. But like overall, there wasn't much to write home about, if particularly in Canada. Like the, what's the feature called? The atrial fibrillation. Like, that's not coming to Canada at launch. Who knows if it
right that will take will. Time to get regulated.
Yeah, Health Canada's got to approve it and all that fun stuff. There's a possibility of it coming here, but who knows, right? There just wasn't a lot about it that to get excited about.
Should we just skip to iPadOS? Because I'm going to be honest, when they did the watchOS stuff, which one of them was writing the CarPlay thing, and I literally noticed none of it. So I got nothing on that one.
Yeah, so there's watchOS. I want to talk about that. There's the new home app. I had that in my notes. Like,
for me, that's exciting cool.
as someone with like a lot of smart home devices and who sometimes uses the home app. I was looking forward to that. But yeah, iPadOS, I think, again, what I was talking about before, the biggest new feature is Stage Manager. I haven't tried it yet.
Multi-monitor.
Yeah, multi-monitor too. That's cool. But my question with the multi-monitor support, which is something that I've asked in like every Apple briefing that I've ever attended tied to the iPad, is do developers have to adapt their apps to support multi-monitor? Because that's the way it kind of worked before. There were certain apps where like you could have stuff on two screens. Is this an expansion of that where it works with every app? I was a little unclear after the keynote.
Yeah, to me, it looked like it was every app this time. Like it seemed like they were just like, we have enough power on iPads to run two displays. Like, we'll just do it. And I'm hoping that's the case. There was a lot of stuff about iPads, you know, being more computer-like. I mean, every year there is. They're just dragging it closer and closer to the MacBook as slow as they can. But I think just because of that overall like trend line, I'm pretty sure I'd expect it to be all apps. I can see if I can find
getting
it.
The weather app too. The weather app, that's exciting. We covered that this morning. Big announcement. iPad weather app, finally. Maybe all we need is Instagram now to make an iPad app.
Whoa. They would never.
No,
don't deserve it. We haven't been good enough this year. Maybe next year. What else do we got? Oh, all that shared photo library stuff was kind of interesting. I don't know how much I would use
iOS 16.
Yeah, but that one specific feature where it's like, hey, if you and people that share photos together are all in the same place taking photos at the same time, we might give you guys a little notification and ask you if you want to share. And I was like, that's actually pretty handy. That's pretty cool. I don't know how often I would end up using it, but like I've been on family vacations before where it's like at the end of the day, everyone's like, okay, like sharing all your photos and being able to just like automatically do that at the start of the day would be pretty sweet. The edits like changed across all that, I'm not sure if I want, like, if, you know, if I have all, like, as a photographer, like if I have all my photos and I've gotten my photos from aunts and everybody and I'm like editing them and then like an aunt goes in and like doesn't edit on one of my photos, I would lose my mind. Like, no, you don't touch those. You edit, you make your own copies.
But, you know, she turns up the brightness on your photos.
Yeah. She's just over cranking everything. Yeah, sorry. iPadOS. I'm sorry. I was just looking at the iPadOS screen on the Apple website to see if I missed anything. And it's starting with all like the basic sort of features that are on iOS as well, like the new iMessage stuff. Being able to edit and delete stuff is pretty cool, I guess.
Well, that's the thing with iPadOS, right? Like, it even didn't have that big of an emphasis during the keynote because so many of the features from iOS come to iPadOS. They're two separate things, at least how Apple presents them marketing-wise. But really, they're still the same operating system in several ways with like a few exclusive features on either side.
Here's a question. With Focus now actually being applied to the email app, like we were literally talking about last podcast, I can't believe that actually happened, but are you going to give Apple email a try? I feel like I have to now that I've put my big mouth out there and said all that. But
I'm thinking
I was like hyped when it happened. I was like, oh my God, no way. I can't believe they actually did that. Like, I can predict.
I am really, really tired of Gmail. And I've strongly considered like switching to Apple Mail, but like a lot of things, I don't know if I'll actually pull that trigger. We'll see.
Yeah, I've been stuck on Spark for a long time. Although Spark is fairly quick to adapt new features, so maybe they'll take it because there is an API for it. I think Outlook already supports it, but only on mobile. I don't know if there's an Outlook app for Mac that you don't like that you can get for free.
Do we have any final thoughts on stuff? Because I know we gotta wrap this sucker up.
Not really that I can think of. I think overall pretty exciting stuff, you know, updates that you're right that like we set up the hop. I think the most like consumer facing stuff like the new lock screen is what people will really enjoy. We definitely need to like brainstorm like a bunch of like stories to write about that for when it like comes out, like how to customize and like do all that stuff, because I think that will do really well. But yeah, I don't know. I guess the one thing is like we were predicting a lot of like groundwork being laid for like AR stuff being announced, and
nothing.
Maybe that was at the sort of like developer State of the Union conference, but at the keynote that we watched, there wasn't a whole lot there.
Nothing.
You know, the CarPlay thing potentially laying the groundwork for an Apple car, if Apple would ever even make a car, who knows? But, you know, it didn't seem like a lot of AR groundwork being laid.
And the hardware was just the MacBook Air. Like, I mean, there's the MacBook Pro too, but like the M2 MacBook Air was the only like big piece of hardware, which isn't unusual, right? Like WWDC typically only has one new thing, and sometimes it doesn't even, like, you're not even able to go hands on with it. It's like a tease of some sort. That's what it was with the HomePod. But yeah, I guess like having, it's different when you're at the event. It's harder to pay attention. It's also different when you're covering it remotely because you're writing so many blog posts about it and you like kind of zoom out for some of it and miss part of the presentation. I think generally speaking, a lot of the cool features are tiny things, like tiny quality of life features across like every operating system. And that there's a lot of stuff to like be excited about, but there's nothing like positively groundbreaking. Really like a quality of life update year for Apple. And where's tvOS? Nobody talks about tvOS. My favorite.
Oh yeah, that's true. Apple operating system. There.
Absolutely.
Yeah, nothing there. Oh, there was something I had that I was going to say. I can't remember what it was. Oh, just the last thing. I feel like we should mention just for the Canadians, our fans, our people. But the new Apple Maps update is coming to, like, they're getting more specific, cool designed app things in Montreal, Vancouver, and Toronto. And the Apple Maps, honestly, is like kind of a, it looks sick now. So
it's getting better.
I don't know if it's enough to switch me to use it, but maybe I'll do like a short or something, like using Apple Maps for a week and just like really condensing it. But I would like to find a reason to like force myself to like explore the maps. I know the guy that develops for Transit. He wasn't a developer. He's the head of design, the design awards. But he was like really hyped on the new maps. He was like thinking of ways to try to like use the API to integrate it into their app and stuff. It's pretty cool.
That's cool. Okay, let's wrap this up. That's it. Thanks for listening to the Stirrupcast. This was a super unplanned, all over the place WWDC special. You can find me on Twitter at @Patrick_Rourke and, of course, on mobilesyrup.com. Bennett, where can people find you?
You can find me on mobilesyrup.com and on our YouTube channel. I've got a video with the new MacBook Air up now. And, of course, you can find me Twitter, Instagram, just about everywhere at @TheBradFat. And feel free to reach out with any feel free to reach out with any WWDC questions if you see this soon or hear this soon, I guess. And I'm still here.
And as always, you can find all of our content on mobilesyrup.com and also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at mobilesyrup. Thanks for listening.
Peace.